We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the Mind on My Money podcast presented by Pinnacle Trust. Hosted by RebelGrove.com publisher Neil McCready and Pinnacle Trust financial guru Martin Palomo, the Mind on My Money podcast tackles the financial questions we're all thinking about. From paying for college to saving for retirement, from life insurance needs to 401ks and everything in between. The goal is to help you take the stress out of financial concerns and give you some tips to enjoy life while your mind is on your money. Now here are your hosts, Neil McCready and Martin Palomo.
Welcome into another edition of Mind on My Money, presented by Argent Wealth. I'm Neil McCready. Martin Palomo joins me, as always, from the offices there in Ridgeland, Mississippi. We're going to talk about, we talked about it last week some, but it's now happened. This Donald Trump's media company, DJT, is how it's on the Wall Street. Soaring, it's just fascinating to me. More than the politics of it, is just the cult of it. We're going to talk about that, just what Martin sort of expects, and then we'll just sort of see where things go. We're taping on a Wednesday morning. We normally tape on Thursday morning, but for both of us, the next 4 or 5 weeks are kind of off kilter. So we'll bring you shows. They just probably won't be every Thursday as you've become accustomed to, but that's okay. Real quick. I'm coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is that number. Call it. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you are looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours, right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote. The rest is up to you. 662-257-1900. And Martin, before we get jumping into Donald Trump and Truth Social and all of those things and people's reaction to it, what's going on there at Argent?
Indeed. Man, we are in our busy season. And you're correct. The next month is going to be, we're going to have to just fit them in how we can find them. My schedule and my calendar makes zero sense. It's absolutely insane. And that's a good thing. But it is our busy season. Folks just trying to measure what happened last year and then make sure they're on track for this year too. And then, you know, folks are really asking pretty intelligent questions. It's kind of funny. I don't know. I'm not going to say it's because of what you and I do, but it seems like a lot more of my clients are more in tune with the Fed and Fed talk and what's mm-hmm. going on. And they're asking really good questions. So I think like the collectively as a whole, our society is starting to ask more questions and are a little more curious. And I love that. You know, and like yesterday, real quick, one of our clients came in. They're in the latter part of their career. Have retired, and they came in and they had multiple advisors. They consolidated down into one. We won the consolidation. And I asked her why. Why did she choose us? And it was funny. The wife actually said, "You're the only one that seemed like you understood the whole picture. Everyone else just wanted to talk about investments." And I was like, "Man, that was."
Awesome.
That nailed it. Like, and that was, you know, when that's one thing we do is we talk to folks about how does the whole puzzle fit together, not just, you know, one slice of the puzzle. So I guess I'll use my client's words and say, you know, hey, if you haven't looked at the whole picture and you're only looking at just the investment piece, you're really missing, you know, the majority of the picture. So give us a call, 601 957-0323, or you can email us at info@myargent, A-R-G-E-N-T, wealth.com.
Yeah, people have different goals for their like retirement or what they want to do when they're retired or things of that nature. Not you can't, it can't be cookie cutter.
Right.
Right. I mean,
right. And the investment piece is just one slice of the pie.
Yeah.
It's maybe a quarter of the pizza, you know?
Yeah.
I would be really pissed if I ordered a pizza from Domino's or Papa John's and they only gave me the really good section was only a quarter of it. I'm like, I want my whole pizza. That's what I'm paying for. It's the whole pizza. Give me the whole pizza.
All right. So Donald Trump, this is Wall Street Journal.
Wild man.
Trump's Truth Social enablers, the headline, his media company's IPO soars on hopes he'll retake the White House. This is written by the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. Shares in Donald Trump's media company surged Tuesday after its public market debut, increasing his net worth by roughly $4.5 billion. Is Trump Media and Technology Group worth its stratospheric $8 billion market valuation? Hard to believe, but it's hilariously ironic that Mr. Trump's opponents have helped enrich him. Mr. Trump launched his Truth Social platform after he was banned from Facebook and Twitter following the January 6th, 2021 Capitol riot. In October 2021, by the way, I have an appreciation for media that calls it what it is, a riot. Just being honest, that's what it was. It was a riot. I push back on the word insurrection. I really do, and not because of any political thing. But an insurrection implies that you are attempting to overthrow the government. Any logical group, no matter whether you're right wing, left wing, center wing, multi-wing, if you say, hey.
Can you be multi-wing?
I don't know. If you say, hey, guys, fellas, let's go overthrow this government. And right. Jimmy's like, what do you mean overthrow the government, Bob? No, we're going to overthrow the thing. We're stopping this.
Yeah, kind of like what Castro did to Batista.
We're going into the capital of the United States of America, and we are going to fundamentally change history right now.
Yeah, with tanks and weapons.
Someone's going to go, hey, Jimmy, we're going in armed, right? No. No, we're not bringing in weapons. I mean, hey, the painted up guy's going to bring a flagpole, but no, we're not bringing any guns. Jimmy, I don't think that's going to work. I mean, that's my thing. Anyway, it has become a pet peeve of mine. I was watching the reaction to Rona McDaniel getting fired at NBC and all the anchors at NBC, you know, apologizing to one another that they had to endure this travesty. It was like, oh, for the love of God, Rona McDaniel wasn't part of an insurrection. She's an idiot. She did a terrible job as the RNC director. You can do that, but she didn't attempt to overthrow a government. It's just silly. Anyway, off my tangent. In October 2021, Trump Media and Technology Group struck a deal to merge with Digital World Acquisition Corp, which is a special purpose acquisition company. SPACs were the rage at the time as investors chased speculative bets amid expectations that interest rates would stay low forever. Small companies use SPACs to raise cash and go public without the typical investor disclosures. Electric vehicle startups Nikola, Lordstown, Lucid, and Fisker went public via SPACs. Mr. Trump's media business, EV startups commanded ethereal market valuations on their public debuts despite bleeding cash with little to no revenue. Their share prices crashed as the EV mania ebbed and interest rates rose. Lordstown filed for bankruptcy, and Fisker recently warned it could too. After cheering the EV bubble, the press now declares that Trump Media's lofty valuation is divorced from market fundamentals. Perhaps.
Yep, I agree.
Trump Media generated only $3.4 million in revenue through the first 9 months of last year while losing $49 million. Feels like that's not good. On the other hand, large losses aren't unusual in a startup's early years. After an initial public offering last week, Reddit boasts a $10.4 billion valuation, though the social media platform has been losing money for nearly 20 years. The expectation that the Federal Reserve will soon cut interest rates has boosted speculative stocks. We're getting there. Mr. Trump's investors may be betting that he'll win election in November and use Truth Social as a White House mouthpiece, drawing more users and advertisers to the platform. It's not a crazy bet, as polls show Mr. Trump beating President Biden. Again, this is the Wall Street Journal. Not my opinion. I don't know. Meanwhile, a Securities and Exchange Commission filing warns that Donald J. Trump is the subject of numerous legal proceedings, the scope and scale of which are unprecedented for a former president of the United States and current candidate for that office, and that an adverse outcome in a case could negatively impact TMTG and its Truth Social platform. You don't say. The stock price could also fall if Mr. Trump, who owns roughly 60% of shares, has to unload them to satisfy a giant New York civil fraud judgment and other legal bills. Mr. Trump can't sell his shares for 6 months, so they won't help his campaign except perhaps as collateral for a loan if he seeks one.
Yep, is this why, last week.
Yeah, is this why SEC Chair Gary Gensler seems to have slow-walked approval of the SPAC merger? The real caveat for investors is that Mr. Trump, as always, is his own biggest asset and liability. Yet his opponent's relentless efforts to take him down have fueled his political support and his platform's potential value. If they want to make Mr. Trump richer, they'll keep it up. It is a fascinating story that now includes this company that the Wall Street Journal's right, Martin. If Trump wins and he uses Truth Social as his mouthpiece, people will flock to it, including his detractors, who will have no choice but to participate in it.
Yeah, if they want to write about him. You know, the thing that's fascinating to me, I'm glad we talked about this last week, and we, not that we were intentionally trying to make forecasts about what would happen, but we actually kind of talked about how he could use this to help him in the pickle that he's in with his, with his legal battles with financing. And my mother and my aunt came to me last night and were like, "Hey, we want to buy." And it's funny, my mom's like, "I want to buy Donald Trump stock." I was like, "Okay, Mom, well, like, you can do that in your little online account." And I asked him, "Why?" I was like, "Why do you guys want to buy this? What about the stock is attractive to you?" And their answer was, "We're trying to help him out." So, like, I think his faithful understand the mission.
Yeah.
And the mission is simple. Buy as much of the stock as you can afford, you know, without causing yourself injury.
Uh-huh.
And pump that price up to help him pay for whatever he needs to pay for, you know, and because he can go get a loan. You know, we read that no one would post bond for him. And so he's having to pay cash himself. What was it, like $175 billion or something like that, that he was having to come up with in a couple of days? Well, I mean, $175 million he had to come up with in a couple of days. Well, if his DJT is now worth $4.5 billion, he can go to a bank and say, "Hey, I'm going to post $1 billion of this stock as collateral. I just need a loan for $300 million. And most banks are going to say, "Okay, you're collateralizing this 3.5 times. And
yeah,
you're just asking for a third, not even a third, less than a third of it, in a loan where we're going to collect interest. And it's going to be rapacious. The interest is going to be rapacious, but he doesn't care. But the thing, let me kick this can, or let me play this tape a little further down the road. What if this becomes the means for raising significantly more cash than campaign funding will allow? Like, there's no limits on how much stock a person can buy. The government cannot tell the American person that they can or cannot buy stock. So what if this becomes an avenue for, he says, hey, you know what? I'm going to self-fund my campaign. And being able to use something like this to raise $10 billion, you know, to self-fund a campaign. I don't know, man. I don't know that it'll ever happen. There could be restrictions around that, but I don't think there's any restrictions on you putting your own money into your campaign, right? There's no limits.
No limit on that.
On that. Mm-mm. So if he owns his DJT and his faithful say, hey, we're going to pump this price, knowing that the company is not worth what the fundamentals of the company are not worth what the stock price is, but that's not their mission. So they don't care. They were going to give this money to him anyway. Why not do it through raising a valuation on equity in stocks? I mean, I don't know that it'll happen, but that's kind of where my head was like, man, is this a new form of campaign fundraising without limitations, without, you know, and it can be anonymous. I mean, people are not tracking, you know, who buys the stocks per se. I mean, I know there is a tracking of that, but, you know, I mean, outside influencers could come in and buy, you know, millions of dollars worth of the stock, pump it up and tell him, hey, I just put, you know, all this money in your pocket, but it's through your stock. Go cash it out.
You know, the whole Trump thing is fascinating.
He's kind of brilliant in a weird way.
He has this, his hardcore support is, like I said, it's kind of cultish. Now,
agreed.
The hardcore hatred of him is also kind of cultish. You know what I mean? I mean, the people who just hate all things Trump.
True.
They're not particularly rational in the hate. They just hate.
It's true.
In many ways, this insistence on prosecuting him, on putting him in jail, on which to me, frankly, is almost kind of laughable. Maybe I'm wrong. I just don't really see a real world where Donald Trump is put in a prison.
If Hillary Clinton didn't get put in a prison, I doubt Donald Trump is.
Well, I mean, even beyond that, and Hillary would have Secret Service protection. Donald Trump has Secret Service protection for the rest of his life, whether he wins the White House again or not. He's a former president. He's protected by Secret Service detail. And what are you going to do? You're going to station them outside of his prison cell? How the hell is that going to work?
That's and a good yes, question.
He has to be protected. I mean, it's and the attorney general in New York, every time she opens her mouth and says something along the lines of taking Trump Tower or taking Mar-a-Lago or this mansion or that mansion, you are just fueling the people who love Trump.
Dude, last week when we read the story, his net worth from the stock was $3.5 billion. This week, when you just read the story, his valuation on his stock was $4.5
billion. His net worth
dollars
with a B, in a week. Like bear or boy or baboon. In one week.
In a week.
Actually, in 6 days.
And yeah, 6 days, because we read it on Thursday last week.
The guy's made $1 billion in 6 days.
Yeah.
Doing.
I mean, is next week, is it going to be $6 billion?
Well, and then I mean, if you're someone in the middle who's just thinking about the stock here, if you think Trump's going to win, you want to get in on it.
Yeah.
Because it would the true valuation would go up if he was.
Yeah, if he said this is the only platform I'm communicating on.
Yes, and if on January the 20th, 2025, he's inaugurated as the 47th president of the United States.
Just out of curiosity, sorry, ADD rabbit trail, he would have two numbers, I guess, right?
45 and 47.
even though he's really
even though he's just one person, he would be he would have been the 45th president, succeeded by Joe Biden as the 46th, and then he would take over again as the 47th.
So was, pardon my ignorance here, was Obama just 44 for eight?
He
so
was
not
just,
43 and
44. Yeah, he was just 44 because he was president for eight consecutive years.
Correct. Okay. Clinton, back to our
regular schedule. One number. Clinton's one number. George W. Bush is one number. Let's say George H.W. Bush had been president, lost, run again, and won. He would have had two different numbers.
Gotcha. Back to our regular schedule program.
Okay.
It is fascinating how Trump commands such so much attention, and he does just suck the air out of the room. And it does feel like every time he gets attacked, all it does is just make him more powerful and stronger. And it's like, man, have the Democrats not realized that trend yet? Or do they just don't care? They're like, hey, they're going to turn him into this monster beast, huge monster beast, and he's going to beat him down.
You know, what's funny. I think the answer to that is twofold. It's people like me who, I mean, I'm being transparent here. I just want the Republicans to win. I don't want President Harris. I don't think it would be good for our country. I think some of the damage that could be done would be irreparable, my opinion. I was for DeSantis. I was not for Trump. In fact, I thought and think that Biden is such a weak president and such a weak candidate that the only person that he could beat is Trump. And running Trump is giving him a path to victory that I don't think he would have against anyone else. So there's the Republican side of the Trump thing that refuses to acknowledge that he's flawed. And then there's the Democratic side, the people that hate Trump, that they criticize him for all the wrong things.
Yep.
And by doing it, they fuel him. They actually give him a chance. I think the far left has created the path for Trump to win. Because, man, if you had told anybody on January the 20th, 2021, Biden's first day in office, that Donald Trump would be the nominee 4 years later, I don't know that many people would have believed it. He was damaged goods. 15 days past the,
fair enough,
the riot slash insurrection, whatever you want to call it. And then they'd had the special elections, I guess the runoff elections in Georgia and somewhere else his candidates all lost. And then the midterms, not all, but most of the people that he backed did not win.
And that's kind of reversed course in the primary stuff, correct?
Yeah, he is in great shape, not great shape. He's in good shape electorally right now, in my opinion, mostly because of how bad the far left has managed things.
Well, and it's going to, I know you and I was even sharing this with the client yesterday that told us that they consolidated with us because we were a whole picture team versus just the one slice of the puzzle. And I was talking about, we kind of dove off a little bit into politics, talking about the economy and, you know, and I told her in a kind of joking fashion, like, hey, I know that the two things we're not supposed to talk about with clients is politics and religion, because it can be divisive. But I was sharing with her that, you know, that you and I had this podcast and we're hitting the season to where we're really talking about a lot of politics, and that I really enjoy it. And I enjoy talking about them with you because you have a very intimate understanding and a deep knowledge of history and the political process. And I continue to learn more about it because of it, but it's like, I feel more engaged And one of the things that you said 4 years ago, which 100% true, is that elections have consequences. And we talked about the last 4 years and the consequences from the last 4 years. And, you know, and I was like, I know that I'm not supposed to talk about these things, quote unquote, with clients. I was like, but I have to. Like, we have to talk about what are the consequences of elections, right or left. You know, whoever's in office, there's going to be something, you know, and it may be, some of it may be economic related and some of it may not be, but at least for the stuff that's related to how it impacts my clients, we need to talk about politics, you know. And we don't talk a lot about religion, just because it doesn't generally come up in financial planning. That's kind of between people and God, you know, what their relationship is. But politics, 100%, is relevant to.
Yes. Listen, this election in November, this election in November will absolutely have consequences. 100%.
Correct.
I mean, whether you, and you might want those consequences. You might want a President Harris.
That's,
and you're entitled to want that. But if you're someone that fears what that would look like, then yes, this. And listen, if the Republicans lose, when I wake up on the morning of November the 6th, I'm going to be mad at Republicans. If Republicans lose, I'm going to be mad at the people who insisted that we run Donald Trump.
That's reasonable.
As a conservative person, that's what will upset me. My fire and vitriol will not be directed at Nancy Pelosi and Kamala Harris and those people. I will give them credit for, they did it again. They took a bad horse, a crippled horse, a horse that's old, doesn't even know which way to run, that stumbles out of the gate, and somehow won the Kentucky Derby. They did it 4 years ago. Joe Biden didn't campaign 4 years ago. He ran from a bunker in his house, basically. They used COVID as a shield to protect him. It was smart. I'm giving them credit. And they won. They won because the other horse was even more crippled than their horse. And now the Republicans are going to run that same horse.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's a hell of a strategy.
So, dude, I went a little ADD while you were talking, and we're talking about consequence. And I know we're talking about strategy. And one of the things that, and it kind of ties back into strategy, I did a quick search and of course it was the St. Louis Fed seems to be my go-to, you know, Fed bank that tells me about historical data. And, you know, a lot of times it's the M2 is what how much money was in our system was the one I'd always go look at from St. Louis Fed. And I was just curious, like, what our tax withholdings from paychecks have looked, the trend, what they have looked like historically. And just have it going back to 1999 in this. Let me hit max and see if it goes back further. They may have not started collecting data until 99. It looks like they started collecting data in January of 99. So I'm going to try to turn this visual into like explain it so you can visually see it and understand it.
Okay.
So they have this chart just shows the amount of taxes withheld out of all of Americans' paychecks from 99 to, why's this number go to 2016? Doesn't go beyond that. That is bizarre. Yeah, doesn't even give me an option to go beyond 2016. So this is going to be an even uglier picture if it were today. So in 1999, I'm going to just turn this into a simple number so that it's easy to digest, because this is in trillions of dollars. Well, I'll just say the number. I still can't comprehend how much money this is. We had in 99, $695 trillion withheld from paychecks in 1999. That steadily rose. I'm sorry. Let me back up. I missed that. It steadily rose. We had a recession from a very short recession in 2001, about 6 months long. And it had gone up to 773 trillion withholdings and then fell down to 703 trillion during the recession. So that makes sense. The government started withholding less taxes so that folks had more money in their paychecks so that they could re-stimulate the economy. And then it grew again to 2008 to, I don't even, is what's after trillion? Quadrillion? Are we making numbers up? Quadrillion a number? We're going to pretend, if it's not, we're going to pretend it is.
I'm from Rustin, that's the next number.
Well, I'm a country boy too.
We never counted that high.
I've never counted that high. So I'm just going to say we're at 995 trillion withholding right before 2008. Then everyone knows the 2008 recession. It looks like tax withholdings came down to 827 trillion. And then at the end of 2016, and this is where the data ends. I don't know why we stopped collecting data. It looks like the last time this was updated was December 19th of 2018. But the last year we have data for is the beginning. This is January 1st of 2016. And it was at $1.3 quadrillion. I don't even know if I'm saying that number right. So we tripled the amount of tax withholdings from 1999 to 2016. So, you know, roughly 16 years, tripled the amount of tax withholdings that the government is withholding out. And that number has to be significantly higher now in paycheck withholdings. So back to what you said, consequences. There are consequences for elections, and taxes 100% are results of elections. And we have a huge, you know, the Trump tax cuts, which was tax cuts and Jobs Act, tax cuts and Jobs Act. Man, words are difficult today. Are set to expire in 2025. And whoever is in office is going to have control of setting the new tax rate.
It's huge. It's huge. I mean, it's a monumental thing. It's going to impact your pocketbook one way or the other.
I don't, And man, I don't know if people remember, it got squashed, but there was a bill going around to begin taxing unrealized capital gains. You remember when we talked about it?
Yes.
It was really more in portfolios, but I started asking, like, well, it can't just be portfolios. It would have to be houses, businesses. Like, how would you, and it would just create so much chaos. And it died. It didn't happen. But that's what our current administration, that's where their head's at. I can't imagine if the administration stays in that taxes are going down.
No,
or withholdings are going down.
No, they're going to go up. They're going to go up.
And then that slows the economy even more.
Here's the thing. They've said it out loud. They want to completely change the fabric of the country. That's what the left wants. And with Joe Biden reelected, constitutionally, he can't run for a third term. His age indicates that he probably won't even finish the second term. I think you agree. He doesn't look like a man that is going to have four vigorous more years left in him.
No.
Maybe he does. I wish no ill will on anyone. I don't wish that upon anyone. No, I don't.
I mean, dude, I want us to win with whoever's in office. I think it's good for our country that
100%. We have,
you know, like I can say I may not like the people there, but I don't want them to. I don't want us to lose, the people of America to lose.
No, absolutely. My kids goodwill. Live in America. Whoever's the president, I hope that president wins. But it's very realistic that if Joe Biden is reelected, one of two things: either he's going to be a lame duck. He doesn't have to worry about running. He doesn't. This is a fact. He doesn't have to worry about running for election again.
Correct.
And so he can.
Whatever he wants.
He can go do. They can go do what they want.
Yep.
And what they want is, it's dramatically different from what our country's been.
Yeah, and I will say, I think our listeners have figured out that I'm pretty conservative, especially as it comes to I'm conservative as it comes to how money is spent and charged.
Yes.
And
to me, this election is about money.
Is about money. Yes.
To me, this election is, and it's what's interesting with the Republicans. They've created openings in areas that, again, they just don't call a very good game. It's the difference. I think the Democrats are a well-coached football team. It's basketball season. We're watching the basketball tournament. We'll do basketball.
Yeah.
The Democrats really coach a good game.
Yeah.
Their team's really focused, very prepared, very disciplined. The ball moves. They take advantage of your mistakes. The Republicans kind of – they're
– try to muscle.
Well, yeah. The game plan makes no sense. They just take half-court shots willy-nilly. Just kind of play – in foul trouble, play the guy in foul trouble. They run a very reckless offense,
appreciate your skills to be able to take a complex topic and break it down into basketball, like on the fly. That's really impressive, man.
But it's what they do. One team is very structured and disciplined, even though I don't really think this particular team is all that talented.
Right.
I mean, the Democrats keep running bad candidates because they have a shortage of talent on their bench.
Yeah.
The Republicans keep running this guy because there's a group of the boosters who are like, no, damn it. This is the guy that plays.
This is the guy.
plays.
What a great analogy, man.
Even though there's like other players who probably would win the game. No, we don't want them to. We want to win.
They'll have their turn.
We want to win, but only if this guy's the leading scorer. That's the only way. Not if that guy's not, he might be our leading scorer one day, but not now, damn it.
What a great analogy.
Well, this, if you insist on this guy, you might lose. Well, you know what? That's okay. That's what we're doing.
We're going down that hill.
It makes no sense. But that's what they do. And so it's quite fascinating actually to watch this thing unfold. That it's April. Next time you and I get together, it's April. We're getting closer and closer and closer. We're a half year away now.
Oh, it's gonna feel like 3 months, because half of that year is summertime, and people are gonna be distracted with, you know, their kids, with their vacations, with their grandkids, with, you know, the time off that summer affords for families to hang out, even if they don't go anywhere. If it's a staycation, they stay at home, spend time together. Summer's fun, swimming in the pool, whatever. And we're going to wake up. Kids are going to go back to school. It's going to be Labor Day.
Oh, and we're there. We're there.
You know
how fast the fall goes?
Yeah. Oh, well, because then we have football. Everyone is distracted by, you know, their favorite sports team, whether it's Ole Miss, State, LSU,
Mississippi State's playing
Sundays
a game on Saturday.
State's
playing a game on Saturday. You get up the next day, everybody goes to church and stuff, and you talk into the game. You get back on Monday, and everybody in the office is like, yeah, can you believe what happened? Did you see where LSU, all that stuff?
Yep.
And then you've got, you know,
Monday night football, Thursday night college football.
NFL gets rolling, and everything gets going, and little Johnny's soccer season gets started, and high school football's rolling, and which means little Jenny's she's got dance, and the older one, she's on the dance team, and every Friday night you're at Brandon High School or whatever the case is, right? And before you look up and you're like, oh bitch, it's Halloween,
and election week is the next week.
Here's an interesting topic. We're about out of time, but I want to get your thoughts on this, because this is interesting. It's kind of been NBC. They hired Rona McDaniel, the former RNC chairwoman. Her tenure lasted like 3 days. There was an absolute anarchy, just a complete meltdown at NBC among employees, and so they reversed that decision. She's no longer going to be an on the air analyst for NBC. Says it shows you that it's a stark reminder of how election denialism remains a divisive and burdensome topic for the GOP as it fights to win the White House and other contests this year. The weight is also on members of the media who try to present both sides in a presidential race expected to be fiercely competitive and featuring Trump and Biden, including Trump, who continues to insist that the 2020 election was stolen from him. Navigating that terrain, as both McDaniel and NBC discovered, is tricky given the fact that polls show as many as a third of Americans think Biden wasn't legitimately elected. That number surges to close to two-thirds among Republicans who have participated in some of this year's caucuses and primaries. So Trump still runs on the election was stolen from me. And two-thirds of Republicans love that. The other third, hand raised, is like, hey, I don't really necessarily know what I think about that. If you put a gun to my head, stolen or not, I'd say not.
Fair enough.
But regardless, I think it's a losing tack.
Agreed.
I go back to my thing. It's like, no, we're going to run this play. The play doesn't work. We're going to run it. It doesn't work. Yeah, we're running it this time again. You know, okay,
it's going to work this time.
Yeah, it's going to work this time, man. Okay. It's like the abortion thing. It's like that play doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's a bad play. It's a bad play. That inbounds pass, they know exactly where it's coming. They're gonna flash their defender. They're not gonna guard the pick. They're gonna intercept the pass, and they're gonna break the other way. Why did he say that? Because every time we run it, that's what happens. Well, it won't happen this time. What are we doing differently? Nothing. Doing the same screen, same screening action, exact same.
Yep.
It's idiocy, but
no one's calling me for strategy. You know, my phone's not ringing. The Republican Party is not calling me. But I mean, if they did, I think my strategy would say, hey, let's talk about the thing that has impacted every single American. No matter what your social class is, it has had an impact on you, which is inflation, taxes, and the economy.
That's it.
And wages.
That's it.
Like, let's ride that horse, because they can say whatever. Like, when I say they, I mean, I'm talking about the media, all of them, everyone, the politicians, everyone can say whatever they want to about whether something did or did not happen with, is it a riot? Is it an insurrection? You know, was it stolen? Was it legitimate? But you can't dispute data that has already happened in the past. So let's talk about what was broken and talk about how we're going to do something different. Like, I think that's the message that, you know, that rings, and that Americans are better stewards of money than their government is. Like, if you see a problem in your community, why don't you, instead of the government withholding so much money to send to our international friends, how about more of it be left in your pocket and you take care of your problems that are in your backyard through your church or through your local communities that are on the ground and know it. Even if it was this will be unpopular. If it was a forced withholding, if they said, hey, we're withholding it no matter what, but you get to choose, does that money stay in your community or does it go to, you know, to the U.S. government for foreign policy? Unpopular. I think most Americans would probably choose to keep it in their community or local or state level.
100%.
You know?
100%. I would run on, hey, 4 years ago, this is what the economy looked like. If I were him, I would say, hey, pre-pandemic, this is what the economy looked like.
Yep.
This is what it looks like today. Because I think Trump has a pandemic problem that a lot of Republicans don't want to acknowledge. Trump.
I 100% agree. It started in his administration.
And I mean, for a long time, right? I mean, the whole 2 weeks to stop the curb.
Yep.
2 weeks to curve the stop to flatten the curve. That's Trump.
Yep. Cash that went into people's stimulus payments. That's
Trump. Under
his administration, man.
That's Trump.
I mean, I know it blew up even bigger in the next administration, but he's not innocent of that. You're correct.
No, I mean, that's where I thought.
And Republicans don't like to admit that.
It's another place where I thought DeSantis would have won. Because DeSantis would have been, hey, you know what? We started with that. And then we got to like the first week of May and we're like, no, the data shows us something different. And we pivoted.
Yep.
Look what we did. And I mean, he would have been able to go hammer Biden on 2021. I don't know that Trump really can, but regardless, kind of lost my train of thought. I would run on the economy, and I would run on inflation. I would run on cost of housing.
Fair enough. Yeah.
And then I would run on they're going to raise your taxes. Yes. They are going to tax you. They have allowed the debt to do this. They are going to tax you. They're spending all of this money, sending all of this money to Ukraine. They've opened the borders. They're letting these people in. We have to pay for them. Who do you think's going to pay for them? You are. They're going to raise your taxes. I would be the extent, and I would Truth Social, Twitter, I'd stay off of it.
Yep. And just whenever you get asked questions about anything else, just go back to...
Yeah.
Go back to your main points. It's like you're too dumb to even process anything else other than taxes and payments. That's a good strategy, man. That's your man. I need to call you.
Former President Trump, what do you think about climate change? Let me tell you about what they're going to do to your taxes.
That's right. Have you watched, all right, just side little note, and I know I got to roll, and we got to go. Have you watched, I don't watch SNL a lot, but there was an SNL skit with the comedian Nate Bargatze. I may be totally saying his name wrong, but it's the skit is called Washington's Dream. And it's hysterical, but it's funny, he plays the role of General Washington, you know, after the Revolutionary War. And, but it's hysterical. And like when someone asks him a question that he doesn't want to answer, he's like, oh, you were talking about, you mentioned the weather. And they're like, no, I didn't mention the weather. And he's like, we will measure temperature in Fahrenheit.
Brilliant.
It is brilliant. That's what the Republicans need to do. They need to go watch Nate Bargatze's Washington's Dream skit and build their narrative. Like, he says what he wants to say. And then whenever someone else says something he don't wants to talk about, he just shifts and changes to what he wants to talk about.
I love it. And that's getting asked about football. And he said, so
some kicking.
So you use your hands in football? So there's kicking in football? There's some kicking.
A little, yeah. There's some. Yeah.
Does kicking count for points? Well, it can count for three.
Either one or three. One point. This sounds really good. And it's funny. All right, one more thing, and then I will roll. When he was like, you know, when people are like, miles will be measured in yards, or how many yards in a mile? And he says, no one knows. And I'm like, 1,760. Like, there's crazy things that no one else in the world cares about that's just stuck in my head. And he was like, no one knows, 1,760. Like, I know how many yards are in a mile. And Jennifer, we're watching that, and Jennifer's like, something's wrong with you. I was like, if it's taken you 13 years to figure this out, Jennifer, you're welcome to the party. You're super late.
Yeah, that's on her. All right, we will wrap there. Don't know when our next one will be, but we'll have one to you here in the next 10 days or so. We'll figure it out. And all right, real quick, we got to do this. We didn't do it last time. Your prediction, your prediction today,
March 27th. Man, I'm gonna stay on my roll, and here's why. I'm gonna stay with Mr. Trump. I think he's gonna raise a tremendous amount of money. And the Democrats are doing him a favor by continuing to try to take him down. So I'm going to give him the edge for only that reason. And I don't want to pay more taxes.
I'm going to plant this seed for a future show. I saw a very realistic electoral college map the other day. It had Trump winning Arizona, Nevada, Georgia. It had Biden winning Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. It had Trump winning, Nebraska has the split kind of, had Trump winning right. The part of that, had Biden winning part in Maine, had him at 269-269.
Wow.
You got to have 270 to win.
Correct.
269 electoral college votes does not make you the president of the United States of America. It leaves you one short.
Are we able to hit a gridlock like that?
Oh, yeah. They did it on that map. Perfectly. It was very realistic. And I was like, whoa, what would that look like?
Well, and pardon my stupidity and ignorance here. What happens?
It goes to Congress.
You go to a popular vote? No.
Popular vote in this country is meaningless. It goes to Congress. Fascinating. It could happen. You talk about divisive.
Oh, man. We might be on the brink of another civil war. Not really. I mean, I don't want that, but that would be wild, man.
Well, I mean, it could lead to revolt.
So, well, if it goes to Congress right now, well, I guess that also depends. Well, no, because it would be the current Congress, correct? Not the Congress that would go in January?
Looking this up right now. What happens in a 269-269 tie? In the event of a tie, the president is elected by the House of Representatives.
Yep.
I'm trying to find a linked article here. I'll have to find it. You know what?
I remember talking about that in my senior year, but I can't remember what.
I think it's the newly elected Congress. I'm not positive, but I think it is. I think it's the newly elected Congress.
That could be beneficial for the Republicans. If it's the Senate, leans Democrat, correct?
No, the Senate looks like it's going to be Republican.
And the newly elected?
Uh-huh.
Nice. Yeah, I would rather have decision on election night over there very shortly thereafter. Because we would be in a state of unrest. I think things would be going to turmoil. Markets would probably go into turmoil if we get a stalemate. Election
goes
night.
To the House, and the Senate picks the vice president. The voting in the House is different from the Senate, and the vote for vice president, each senator has one vote. But in the House, each state has only one vote for president, regardless of its size, and a presidential candidate needs 26 to win. So,
well, that leans Republican then.
Yeah.
Because there's more of middle America. The flyover states are more Republican. And if it's each state gets a vote, count-wise, more states fall Republican, but the populist centers are...
If the presidential race should end up in the House, the outcome would depend on which party controls the state's delegation. As it stands, Republicans are in the majority with control of 26 state delegations. Democrats control 23 state delegations, and one state, Pennsylvania, has a tied delegation.
Interesting.
So, yeah, pretty interesting. All right.
Interesting.
We'll wrap it there.
Awesome.
This edition of Mind on My Money. Don't forget, it's myargentwealth.com, myargent wealth.com. Martin and I'll be back with you again soon. Have a great rest of your week. Great weekend. Stay safe, and we will talk to you later. Bye.